Let's all get our minds up on the Lord Jesus and listen to the Word of God, because it is by the Word of God that we're going to be saved. We're going to reach perfection is by the preaching of the Word of God. So let's all just get our minds upon the Lord and expect God to help us tonight. And as we do so, I believe that He will. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll just turn the service to Brother June.
Amen, amen. Amen. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we want to look to the Word of God now for a little while. It's early tonight, so we could speak a good long while and still not be late. Amen. Now we're going to speak on a subject tonight that... get my mic. We're going to speak on a subject tonight that we haven't spoke on in this manner before. So we want you to keep your thinking caps on as we go along tonight. Amen. We're going to speak on Elijah, the restoring prophet. Amen. So we want you to follow along with us in the Word of God, and we've got a lot of Word for you tonight. Enlightening. So as we bring this message tonight, Elijah, the restoring prophet, there are some things I don't think maybe you've saw before, at least I haven't, and I think it's very profitable that we see them. So we're going to approach the Word of God with the usual scripture that is read when it is Elijah coming is spoke on, and that's in Malachi 4, as God has fulfilled it in our day. Malachi 4 and 5 and 6. And we want to approach this first, and then we've got a lot of scripture, as we said, so just get as comfortable as possible, and we'll not try to hold you too long, but we're going to make use of every moment of time that we hold you here tonight. Amen. Not just fooling around, but we want to make use of all the time in the Word of God. Now, the Word in Malachi 4, chapter 5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Amen. Would you pray with me at this time? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to stand up for the Word's sake, Lord. Stand up for your sake. And stand up for the sake of the bride in this end time, Lord. God, as we approach this Word of God, I realize it was written as holy men of God was moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And realizing, Father, that's the only way that we can understand it, that you move again upon us end time people by the Holy Spirit, and enlighten our minds through the Word of God. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll anoint us with a special anointing that it will take to make this message profitable to the bride here at the end of the age. Make it profitable to us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that since it being a teaching message, Father, that you'll make it interesting to us, Father. Many times teaching messages seem to be dry, but, Father, I'm asking you to help us. Let not this one be that way, Lord, that the people may receive the benefit of it in a greater way. Now, Father, we commit ourselves to you with a word in Jesus' name to do as you see fit. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now we read Malachi 4, the coming of Elijah. Now, our subject again, Elijah, the restoration prophet. Now, we want to go to the book of Matthew here and read a scripture. It's found here in the book of Matthew. That's talking about, or Mark rather, let's skip and get Mark. There's Matthew. It says differently in different one of the Gospels about the coming of Elijah and John the Baptist fulfilling part of it. But here in Mark chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. And let's read the Word of God tonight. Now the scribes here is talking to Jesus as a different one, saying, project him as the Messiah. After the Mount Transfiguration, they were sure he was the Messiah. But they asked Jesus, said, why saith the scribes that Elijah must come first? Now, here's Jesus answering him in verse 11. It says, and they asked him, saying, why saith the scribe that Elias must come first? And he answered and told him, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. Now, I want you to notice this. Elijah cometh and restoreth all things. And notice how he words it here. It's also worded in Luke and also in Matthew here. But here, he restoreth. Elijah verily cometh first and restores all things. Now, that's not only speaking of John, but it's speaking future things. Amen. All right. Elijah come first and restores all things. How is it? Now, watch. He's changed the subject right there on the spot and goes into something else. Now, watch this as we go into this. How is it? And how is it written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught? But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come. Now, this is talking of John. Is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, and it is written of him. Now, Elias must first come and restore all things. Now, when we begin to break this down and look at it tonight, you're in for a surprise. Amen. When Elias restores, we're going to see how Elias does restore things. All right, there's another scripture in Luke. It tells us here, now many theologians today and Bible scholars and teachers dispute the fact that there is to be an Elijah come at the end of the age to restore the Word of God to the end time Gentile people. But we want to look here at what Jesus quoting from the scripture about the restoration here in Luke 1 and 17. John fulfills only part of this scripture. Amen. John fulfills, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's the part John fulfills it here in Luke 17. And let's just read it. It says, and he talks, speaking of John, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, John the Baptist did that. How many will agree? He turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. But now at the end of the age, there's one to turn the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers. Amen. And that, of course, is none other as we're speaking tonight. I trust each one of you realize God has sent a messenger to this age. And this is speaking of William Marion Branham. We all know that to be the truth. Now, as we laid this little foundation, reading about Elijah, we find scripture in the Bible speaking of Elijah that is much confusing, and still is, always has been. But the Pharisees asked Jesus a question one time about a subject, and Jesus said, let's go back to the beginning. And he went back to the beginning and began to analyze the subject to get the truth out of it. So tonight, we want to go all the way back to the beginning of Elijah and find the truth of what the spirit of Elijah is to do. Now, I would like to establish something here before we go back to the beginning, that the spirit of Elijah is prophesied as those that have studied Bible history and prophecy in depth know that it's promised to come five times. Of course, the first was Elijah, the original one. Second, Elijah. And then thirdly, John the Baptist. And fourthly, William Branham. That's the one we believe that fulfilled the scripture according to the works they did. And of course, fifthly, then there's one to appear to the Jews and restore as the temple worship restored and so forth, which we'll leave that one alone for time being. And it will be preached by those to whom God's ordained to preach it when the proper time comes. And that will, of course, be as we're getting perfected to get out. All right, now we're going to read quite a bit of scripture starting in 2 Kings chapter 17. And we want to read about Elijah. Now, while you're turning, we want you to notice as we begin to read about Elijah here, when he comes, it's unusual in the fact that there's no history of where he came from. I looked in the Strong Concordance today, And this is the first mentioning of Elijah. And the first mention of Elijah is this, that he comes to King Ahab and make a prophecy. Where he came from before that, God just left that to our imagination. It's anyone's guess where Elijah come from and so forth. But here came a man on the scene, and evidently he was known to Ahab and were known what was taking place, but God didn't see fit to record the previous history of Elijah. But here come a man to Ahab and begin to prophesy. Now we're going to read quite a bit of scripture and we want you to listen as it goes. So here we begin reading about Elijah, and this is all we know about it. Don't ask us anything else about where he came from or anything, what he did in his childhood, or did he live in the wilderness, or did he live in a brick home, or did he live in a tent. I don't know. God didn't record it. God only recorded it as when he came to King Ahab here in the 17th chapter of 17th chapter, 2 Kings, or 1 Kings rather, 17th chapter, 1 Kings. And we want to begin reading there, and I want to show you a little something about it, and I would like for you to notice with me also that according to Schofield's notes here and his timing, this is B.C. 925. Now the reason I'm telling you that, I want to show you when the temple worship was finally restored, showing many years later. All right, let's read the Word of God. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now I want you to notice, in itself, the spirit of Elijah is very bold. Amen. He pulls no punches, and as to what he has to say, as is noted by the first mentioning of Elijah, there'll be no rain from heaven except according to my word. Rain. Not even any dew's going to fall unless I say for dew to fall. Amen. So that was quite stunning, I'm sure, to Ahab. All right, then we'll read further, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Amen. Notice what God's doing. God even commanded the raven to feed this Elijah as he went off in the wilderness here. So he came and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain in the land. Now, I want you to notice this. God, he has never purposed for us to get to one place and stop. Amen. He wants us to move on with revelation. Even the prophet Elijah, he told him to come here, but then he dried the brook up, and when the brook dried up, he began to listen for the word of God. Amen. That's when we want to begin to try to get an answer from God, is when the brook dries up. That's when the spiritual stream of revelation dries up in anyone's life, or in any church, or in any place. Then that's the time, begin to look for it, because there's a word of God for you. Praise God. And it will be sure, it will come to you, just as it did the prophet here. All right, reading further it says, Now notice, as the brook dried up and the ravens quit bringing the food and so forth, Elijah knew to listen closely now, because God fixing to begin to talk. And God did talk. Verse 8 it says, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zophath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to sustain thee. Amen. God, he just keeps moving his prophet, and he isn't going to starve in this time. So he arose and went to Zophath, and when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink, That was not a very hard request. Even though it's dry, they still had some water, but Elijah didn't stop there. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Amen. Notice here he's very demanding on her. "Bring me a morsel of bread in thy hand," and bread wasn't. You couldn't just find bread anywhere, but the prophet asked for it here. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." Amen. That's the way the church was when God sent Elijah, wasn't it? They were ready just to go in and eat and die. They'd reached a place that they couldn't go any further, but I like to see the church reach a place like that, because that's when God can always move. That's when God can always move an individual. So if you ever come to a place in your life like that, always praise God for it, because God's fixing to lead you into something greater. He never leads you into something smaller. He always leads you into something greater and greater. There's greater depths in God than we have reached as yet. As the prophet of old, he went out in the water, and first it was up to his ankle and then up to his thighs, and then water he couldn't swim in. That's God. That's the way he leads his church. Praise God. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. He's leading his church on. Glory to God. Amen. All right, with some more words. Amen. You might say you're reading a lot of scripture. Yes, because if I say something that's not scripture-based, you can't put your faith in it. But you can always rest your soul right upon the Word, because it's right always. Now, the woman went in, and she said, "I haven't got but one cake. We're going to make one cake, eat and die." Verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son." Notice, give to God first, and then God will give to you. Amen. That's always been the plan of God, giving to God the first fruit of all your increases, and then God will give to you. Now I don't only want you to see a man, I want you to look at a spirit tonight. The spirit of Elijah. Because it's something about this spirit that pleases God, so he just uses it over and over again. I noticed one thing. The spirit of Elijah is very precise in what God tells him to do. He just does that and don't do anything else. Amen. I'll tell you something else about it later, but I want to read some more first. Verse 14 says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send his rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days." Thank God. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Now notice, God gave a word and he spoke it by Elijah. That's the way God gives his word today. He speaks it by a minister. Amen. Praise the Lord. He does not necessarily speak it by the Bible. This is God's word and this is what God has spoke. Amen. But God still speaks fresh word by the minister of the hour. Can you say amen? Praise God. That's the way God, he's got vessels. Amen. We want to, in the near future, bring a message, the Bible and the spiritual word. And we want to show you this, and when we do, we want you to be very wise and see your personal need for Christ, that Christ can speak to each one of you and lead each one of you into all the truth as is recorded in the Bible. Praise God. The early church was an example for us. Now we'll continue reading verse 17. "And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, thou hast brought this evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord God and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that thy words, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Amen. Notice the spirit of Elijah. God honored this spirit in an extraordinary way, even to the raising of the dead. Amen. Now this spirit, it's very important that we see these things. Amen. We're going to plow through a little more scripture here, and we want you to catch it as we read it, even you young, old, and alike. Amen. Catch the Word of God as we read it. It's going to get more interesting as we go tonight. Praise God. Look how God honored this man's spirit, even bringing the child back to life, brought his soul back in him that had departed. Amen. That reminds me of what Paul did. In Acts 20, I believe it is, when the man fell from the third loft, when he was preaching all night, he laid upon the man and so forth, and he presented him alive. His spirit returned unto him, I believe he said. Here Paul says, Elijah says the soul returned. I believe Paul said the spirit returned. Amen. So they at least, each one came back alive. Now let's continue with the Word of God in chapter 18. And it says, And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. After 3 years, no rain, but God said, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I'll send rain. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. Amen. The Bible says there'll be a time that there'll be a famine, not for food and drink, but for the hearing of the Word of God. Amen. How many knows it? We've come through that. And even now there's a famine. Not that God has a lack of vessels, but it's the fact that people can't recognize the Word. Amen. Therefore, they can't hear it. There's a famine that he said here. But God sends a man of God. And in here, verse 3, it says, And Ahab called Obadiah, which was governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now, I want you to begin to think with me real careful as we go along. Now, Obadiah is here in the king's house. He feared the Lord greatly. And he himself hid 100 prophets of Israel. And God moved there graciously and spared his seed. And God had 7,000 in Israel that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. But I want you to watch Elijah here as he continued to operate as though there was nobody in the world but him. Now I want you to notice this, because we see the Spirit don't change. The way that he did his work, the way that he obeyed God, the way that he went around, he did it as an individual, and he did it as though he was the only one in the world that served God. And he is thinking with that, because he told God in the cave, he said, I am the only prophet that's left, didn't he? Now notice here was Obadiah, he was even in the king's house, and he greatly feared God. But Elisha never recognized that, because God was dealing with this man in a strange way. Amen. And it tricked the people. Amen. The way God picked this one man up and used him, it blinded the eyes of the people that they can't see what God's doing. So when God get ready to move on something else, the people are sitting blind and they don't know what God has done. Amen. Can you say amen to that? All right. No, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. All right, verse 4 of chapter 18, it says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them and passed throughout. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. Elijah coming out of hiding after 3 long years. Now watch, he still had the word of God. What he said, first still stand, it won't rain, there'll be no dew, there'll be nothing until I call for it, he said. Amen. Now listen at the word of God as we minister further here. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now here's the second meeting of Ahab and Elijah. The first meeting, he said, there'll be no rain unless I call for it. Unless I say rain, there'll be no rain. Amen. Let's read the word of God together. Unless I say there's rain, there'll be no rain. So Elijah, after 3 years, came to Ahab again. Amen. And here it records in verse 17, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troublest Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord and have followed after Balaam. Now therefore sin." And now watch here, Elijah began to challenge the prophets. He began to challenge all the people of that day, and even began to challenge Israel itself. One lonely figure stand out here to challenge the whole world. Amen. We want you to notice the spirit of Elijah. Remember our text tonight. Did not it slip from your mind? We're speaking on Elijah, the restoring prophet. Because God has done something in our day, and the Bible says, go back to the beginning, and that's what we're doing. We want you to see something tonight as we go forward in the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, now notice Elijah giving an instruction in the 19th year. "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said," now what? God sent this spirit to the earth to challenge the people, whether they'd serve God or whether they'd serve mammon. How many knows in this hour that we have lived in, God has sent that spirit again and again. It has challenged the whole religious world. Is God God? If He is, let's serve God. If denomination is right, let's go into a denomination. Now I want you to watch this spirit, because God don't change in using this spirit. But I want to show you, Israel missed it. Israel missed what God did. Amen. Except a very few. Praise be to God. But Elijah challenged the prophets here. This is the spirit of Elijah, God's restoring prophet. Now I want to stop here to make it interesting to you as we go forward. Now notice, the temple worship was stopped. They were worshiping Baal and killing all of God's prophets. But as God restored, sent this great restoring prophet, they did not resume temple worship. It wasn't restored then. 247 years later, all the grove were broke down, and finally the thing got restored back only under Hezekiah. But here they were so stooped in sin that God sent a restoring prophet. But God sent Elijah not in the usual way. Here's why. Because if He sent him in the usual way, Elijah would have went to the temple. He would clean the temple up, got all the priests cleaned up, amen, and begin to offer sacrifice, wouldn't he? Because that was the way. But Elijah came, and then one thing, he proved that God was God. Amen. He proved that God was still a God that would answer by prayer, by fire. Amen. He proved that God's order of sacrifice was still right, even though He never took it to the temple. Amen. Now, this is going to be very important as we look in the New Testament after a while. So that's why I want you to catch these points here. God restored back the outside of God's usual realm of worship. Amen. Because Elijah didn't even know there was anybody else in Israel that loved God. He operated as though he was the only man there was. And he went completely outside of every move of God. He didn't go and associate with any of God's other people. He just worked and did a thing and restored back something. He proved that God was God. Hallelujah. And we'll show he'd done the same thing in John's day. Went completely outside of the workings of God. God's original plan in John's day hadn't changed. It should have been temple worship. It should have been offering and sacrifice. It should have been a clean, holy priesthood there, keeping the statutes of God. But God used John and he went outside of all that. But still he was God's restoring prophet. Amen. It was said that he would restore all things. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God I can hardly hold back something for this hour. But I better read a little further here. Now we're looking at the seed of this thing. We're looking at the beginning of this thing, how God used the man Elijah. And he keeps on using them this way, and it fooled the people in that day, and it just keep on fooling the people because they're not able to come back and look in the Bible to see what God's done. Now, this Elijah is very strange. Now, let me reemphasize this point that God always used this spirit of Elijah outside of his original plan of working. God does not use this man Elijah and bring him through his usual way of working. He didn't do it here. The priest knew nothing about Elijah. None of the rest of the prophets. We're going to show you that. There's one of the prophets that prophesied that Elijah didn't even know anything about. When they went up to the land, I had it wrote down here somewhere. Micah the prophet in chapter 22, but don't get this. We'll pick it up now. Don't turn to it. Don't want to. But in chapter 22, there was another prophet named Michael. And he prophesied and told Ahab and them, don't, if they go up in the battle, they'll be scattered as sheep with no shepherd, rather. Scattered all over the mountains. Amen. But Elijah still operated in the land as though there was another prophet in the land. But there was another one. Chapter 22 records Michael, the prophet, and he was a true prophet of Israel. Amen. The Bible also records 400 prophets. But here was another true prophet beside Elijah in the land at the same time. But when God used Elijah, he used him as though there was not another prophet in the land. Amen. Outside of God's original way of working, he picked up a man and this man called the people back. And the man done one thing. He proved that God was still God. He made fun of everything else. He preached everything else aside. He had his mind set like a flint and he went ahead and did what God said to him. Now, I want you to identify this spirit later in the New Testament. All right, notice verse 21 here of chapter 18. And Elijah came and all the people said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. They couldn't say much about it. Then said Elijah unto the people, even I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But God corrects him later on and said there's 7,000. Notice, I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one in the land. All right, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. And let them choose 1 bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call on the name of your God. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And let the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Amen. Now this is a great happening in the land of Israel. One more time after years and years and years that the people haven't saw any true manifestation of God, here's a man that God has picked up and he's going to make God live again. Hallelujah. He's going to bring God to Israel again and prove to the people that God is still God. but he does not restore the religious order of Israel. Amen. He does not restore the religious order of Israel. Now watch, as the great happening began to take place, it's interesting to read, to see what great thing God did. Here, verse 35, it said, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one Balak for yourself. Choose you one Balak for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And they took the Balak, dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any answer. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon," watch, Elijah began to mock him because he was a man of God and he knew where he stood. Now listen here as we read here. "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked him and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he's asleep and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded." Watch Elijah again. "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Now I want you to watch here. Amen. Evidently these worship of Baals have been showing some signs and manifestations. But here, when God got ready to do something, all the manifestations stopped. Amen. They couldn't get any answer. They couldn't get any fire to fall. They couldn't get anything. So Elijah just sat and made fun of them. Amen. Then he repaired the altar. In verse 31, it says here, "And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order," notice he put things in order, "and he put the wood in order on his own altar that he was making, and cut the bullock in pieces and laid on the wood, and said, Fill 4 bowls of water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." Now I want you to notice these numbers here. You see them popping out a little bit here. It tells us something about Elijah. He wanted 4 barrels of water. Amen. 4 barrels of water. He wanted them filled up. In verse 34, he said, "And he said, Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. "And he said, Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. "And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water." All right, verse 36 says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said," watch what happened then. Brother, something is fixing to happen. God is fixing to prove one more time that God is God. Amen. And he used this man Elijah to do it. Praise God, this man, he had the vindication about him. He had the power of God about him. We would think that he would call Israel back to the Word. But did he do it? Amen. He had a revival. But we're going to see what happened. Praise the Lord. All right. As Elijah get things in order here, amen, he began to pray then. Amen. And he came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned thy back against, and that thou hast turned thy heart back again. And then fire of the Lord fell. Hallelujah. Brother, we'll see the fire of the Lord fall in this hour. We'll see God pick a man up so high that no one could reach him. Even one had a vision of him. And he were up in the sky preaching the word. And he hollered out and said, "How can I get up there?" And Brother Brown told the man back, said, "No old man can come up here except it be that God ordained him to come." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Look you at the word of God, the fire fell when Elijah called on God. He called on God and God answered by fire. But notice how it was outside of God's original plan, outside of God's original place of worship. God chose one place to put his name, and that was in the temple. How many will agree? Then Solomon dedicated it. He said, "If anybody, no matter where they're at, Lord, if they'll look to this temple and pray, hear and answer prayer." But here Elijah, he didn't go to the temple. He went up on top of Mount Carmel. Amen. Outside of the religious realm of Israel, God began to do something. Praise God. Now, I want to stop here just a moment. And there's so much scripture, we're going to have to condense some of this in just a little bit. But I want to get this good first. Amen. Notice God went outside to get a man. Outside of the original realm of God's ordained worship that was in the temple. Now, did this annul God's plan? Here's what I want you to think now. Did this annul God's plan of accepting sacrifice in the temple? Did this annul God's plan of that rock that Abraham offered Isaac upon? That's the only place today that God will accept an offering. That's on that rock. And the Mosque of Omer is built over it. Therefore, it's got to be destroyed. But here, God picked up a man and used a man named Elijah, amen, and honored it outside the temple. Amen. Now, I want you to get your thinking caps on. Praise be to God, praise be to God. Outside the temple, God honored and God answered by fire. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he dedicated the temple. The Spirit of God came in. It was so smoky in the temple that they couldn't even minister. And God chose the place to put his name. He chose that place for his sacrifice to be offered. But here he picked up a man and used a man outside of his original ordained way of and place of worship. He accepted the worship of Elijah. This is a particular man that's called to prove to Israel again that God is still God. He didn't tell them about the law of Moses and explain all of it, where they were all, and this, that, and the other. He proved one thing, that God was still God. And then when he proved that God was still God, why didn't he do the rest? Because God's already given it to Moses. They already knew it. It was already in the book. So he just proved that God was still God, that God was still answered by prayer, by fire. Amen. He left them. Now, do you see how God used that man Elijah? Not in the temple. There was originally no other place to accept a sacrifice except in the temple. Amen. Now you begin to see something. An Old Testament prophet comes to a New Testament age. Amen. Outside the original realm of a New Testament ministry. Oh, thank God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. All right. Let's read some more. Just drop that in so that it won't... See, reading so much scripture, you might lose the thought of where we're going and what we're doing. So I dropped that in so you could think on it as we go. All right. Notice Elijah called on God, and God heard. All right, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God." Then Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Cornish, or Kinnick, I can't say that word, and slew them there. Amen. Notice that. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now notice Elijah proved that he's God, now he restores back the water. Verse 42. And Ahab went to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel and cast himself up on the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servants, go now, look towards the sea. That's towards the sea. If we type that out, the sea means people, but this was little sea. Amen. We type it out sometime, preach on fivefold ministry. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, like a man's hand, what is it? First apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. Arise out after God was proven God. All right. And then verse, like a man's hand, and he said, go up unto Ahab. Prepare, said, go up. Go up. Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went into Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now watch, those horses could run just about 35 miles an hour. That's about how fast they could run. But notice here this old prophet, amen, that the Spirit of God came upon. Amen, told Ahab, get into town because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. But he began to run. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he outrun the chariots, the horses, and everything, and beat them into Jezreel. Amen. What had Elijah done? Now, I want to ask you this question. Now, Elijah's ministry is over. After this great show, he says nothing about restoring temple worship or anything. But Israel know one thing, and that's about the only thing they know. For one time, God pinched their conscience and wake them up and let them know that God is still God. But he leaves them where they're at. He does not set up a high priest. He does not do any of these things. You see that? Amen. But he proves one thing, that God is God. Because they already had the Word. God ain't changed yet. They already had the temple. Amen. They already had all these things, but they'd forgotten that God was God. So God used Elijah to prove that he was still God. And it woke the nation of Israel up to the extent that they recognized that there was a God. Now, the people should have run right back to the Word of God and begin to do what the Word said. Do you see how God used that spirit of Elijah? It's a restoring prophet, but watch what God restored. Restore the knowledge that God is God. Amen. And restore several other things with it. But that the main thing is that. Now, I want to show you what happened to the prophet. Just heard that there's so much you won't get through. There's so much there you can't get through. You could read several chapters here, but I want to get in the New Testament. But I want to read a little here in the 19th chapter. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and whither how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do so to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now here Jezebel's threatening. Watch what happened now. The spirits begin to get off. God's done true that he was God to Israel. Amen. Amen. He done used the prophet to do a great thing. Watch what happened. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Run for his life. Man, he got out of there. And he came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father. You see that prophet speaking there, that spirit? Amen. He ran for his life and said, Lord, just let me die now. Amen. After the great victory won. And he laid and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God, where God met Moses. Amen. Gave the commandments and so forth. Way in the wilderness. And he came. Well, it took 40 days to get there. 41, in fact, because he'd already gone the day's journey. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slayed thy prophets with a sword. Now watch him again, because this is important in this hour. Amen. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by. Now watch. Notice how God speaks to Elijah, but he does not necessarily speak to other folks like he did Elijah. Now, when God was going to speak to Elijah, he was watching in a special way for the voice of God. Amen. And that voice was a still, small voice. But he didn't speak to David that way. David laying there under the tree, David had to hear something. Amen. David laying there that night before going into battle, he wasn't necessarily listening for a still, small voice. David was wanting to hear the Lord go before him. He wanted to know God's gone before him. Amen. So he was laying there that night and he heard the going. He heard the whirlwind going to the mulberry tree. And he said, now I know the Lord's gone before me. All right, St. Paul, on the way to Damascus, wasn't listening for a still, small voice. The Lord didn't speak to him that day. He spoke to him by a light that struck him down. Joshua, the way that God did there, he let the walls of Jericho fall. Just showing you different places, different ways God speaks to different people. Amen. So when we try to copy exactly after the way God used the spirit of Elijah, sometimes we miss God, don't we? Amen. You see how it worked? Now here's Elijah. He had a special ear tuned into God. He was listening for a special thing. And God's big enough and able to deal with you as an individual. Amen. You listen to God the way that God speaks to you. Whether it's in a dream, whether it's in a vision, whether it's in an audible voice, if you're born of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, God can speak to you His own way. How many can say amen? Amen. Now watch what Elijah done here. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by and a great and strong wind rent the mount. Didn't praise the prophet. That wasn't what he was listening for. A great and strong wind tore the mountain up and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. After that wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now listen. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Amen. Now to me, I think maybe the earthquake would have been sufficient, or the fire, or any of those things. If it was something like that take place, it would sure got my attention. But that prophet was a special trained prophet. He operated one way. Amen. He was set in a pattern, and he didn't deviate from it. But notice, he don't go back and restore the worship to Israel. He don't tear down the altar of Baal. He don't tear down the house of Baal. He only does one thing. He proved to Israel that God is God. Amen. That's about the extent of his ministry. Amen. Thank God. And that's why Elijah done to us in this hour. He proved to us one more time that God is God. Amen. Listen as we read further now. Verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what does thou hear, Elijah? And he said, now listen, I have been very jealous for the Lord my God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy commandment, thrown down an altar, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, and left, and they seek my life to take it away. But watch what God said. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael, king of Syria. Now here is a place I want you to listen to me. God told this great prophet to go anoint Hazael, king of Syria. But did you know? And listen and don't let it shake you. The voice of the Lord's talking to the prophet, go anoint Hazael, king of Syria, but he did not. Amen. He did not. I'll show you he did not. By reading 2 Kings 8 and 13, Elijah done it. Elisha, which came later. Elisha done it. All right, and then he told him, go anoint Jehu, but Elijah didn't do it, and Elisha didn't do it. A servant did. But God told Elijah to do it. But why didn't he do it? Amen. Now, we're going to see some things here. A lot of people looking for a lot of things. Amen. But God knows what he's doing. God used this man to do a job, and when it's done, amen, he's finished. Watch now. Verse 15, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael, king of Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet, now here God straightened him out on a little something. Yet I have left to me 7,000 in Israel, all that which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Now, the Word of God goes on and on and on, and it gets better and better. We could read 3 or 4 more chapters. But I think sufficient has been read on that. Now notice here, as God gave Elijah his last call, telling him to go do this last thing, he did not do it. He did go by Elisha and smite him with his mantle. Elijah started following, and Elijah looked back and said, what have I to do with thee? Elijah had 12 yokes of oxen, which was quite a farmer. He slew them, they had a barbecue, threw the party for his friends, and he left and began to follow Elijah, and God translated Elijah. Amen, as you can read further in the Word. Now, he did not anoint Hazael, king of Syria. Now, I want to show you one thing. This is not to belittle him in any way. Now, we want to turn to 2 Kings 9, 1 through 10, and see who anoints Jehu. God told Elijah to do it, but Elijah went over the Jordan and seemed to never did get around to it. But here, we find here, Elisha sent a servant to do it. In 2 Kings, verse 19, it says, Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophet and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take the box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramah-Gilead, and when thou comest thither, look out Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nathan, and go in and make him arise up from among his brothers and carry him to an inner chamber. Take this box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king of Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. Amen. Now, I read that to you to show you this one thing. Now, the prophet of God, Elijah, did not do as God told him there in the cave. Did you know it was many, many years later, before the true worship was ever restored? I got it wrote down here when it was, how long it took place. From 1 Kings 17, that's where Elijah started. From 2 Kings 17, Elijah began to restore. To 2 Kings 18 chapter, where the restoration was completed under Hezekiah, was 247 years. Now, other kings, they accepted the Lord, but none of them never did tear the altars down. All right? Under the kings, the altars never was tore down. Let's go to 2 Kings here, 12 and 3, and show you that was they begin to have a conscience towards God, but they never did tear the high places down. Amen, tell you. Get over there to Hezekiah, 12 and 3. Now watch here. Here was one in the seventh year of Jehu, Jahaz began to reign, and 40 years reigned in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Bathsheba. And I can't say his name. Did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt offering in the high place. Amen. Notice that. They didn't take them away. But in 2 Kings here, 18th chapter, I want to show you, finally the true worship is restored. And show you how God does it. Notice, Elijah didn't do it. How many can see why Elijah done? He come and restored the knowledge of God and proved that God was God and told them, you've forsaken the laws of God, you've done this. Amen. But then God took him off the scene. Then the work of restoration continued on. Amen. And God finally restored it. Here in chapter 18 of 2 Kings, it tells about Hezekiah. And he removed the high place and restored the work of God. And you read through, I have. It's not restored unto this time. And it came to pass, in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elath, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zacharias. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. This is the first time they got it restored back like David did. And here he's the first king since the days of Elijah that tears the high places down. Watch now. Verse 4. And he removed the high places and broke the image and cut down the grove and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it, and he tells what name, called the name. Notice, there's something, the serpent that Moses made, which would one time save their life, had become idol to them. They begin to worship it. How many sees that? The prophet of God, the man of God, had to destroy that serpent Moses made, because God was doing a new thing. Now, I wish I could give you the miracles that Elisha done. My, it's so wonderful how he raised the dead there and did them. I got them all wrote down here, what the miracles and chapter, and I could read them off, but I see my time's getting gone tonight. But I want you to continue reading in the second chapter there. It tells, 2 Kings, it tells how Elijah was translated, the second chapter. In Elisha, the Bible says the Spirit was upon Elisha, that was on Elijah. Amen. The Spirit fell on him, and he began to do the same thing, but did you notice the restoration wasn't complete? Now we want to get to, that's the second time the spirit of Elijah was on the man. Now the third time, there's many scriptures in Isaiah and many other scriptures about a voice of one crying in the wilderness fell upon John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he came and he shook the nation of Israel. But I want you to watch this time, the spirit upon John, the Bible says he did no miracle. Not a miracle he did, but he shook the nation. He woke them up. Amen, but he didn't go to the temple. Amen. God moved and shook the nation of Israel and prepared a way for the coming of the Lord. And thank God he came, but he did it outside the religious realm. Now, quickly, coming to our day. Amen. Of course, you've already put together two and two, and I'm sure you've came out with four. All right, God send the spirit of Elijah one more time where we read that tonight. Beginning Malachi 4. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what was he to do? Turn the hearts back. Wake them up. Make them know that there's a God. Amen. But did you know again this time, just like the other two times he did it, he moved outside of all religious realms to do it in? Amen. Picked up a man called William Branham. Amen. And he was not, let me remind you, he was not part of the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is God's original way. He called the people back to the Word, said, go back to the Word, and he proved again that God was God. Even the scientific world has to admit that God is God. But did that put them back in divine order? No, sir. Amen. Do you see now what God has done? Amen. That spirit of Elijah, I'll send you the spirit of Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and He'll wake the people up, make them know that there's a God again. Amen. And God will go outside of His original way of dealing any time He used that spirit of Elijah. Elijah did not reestablish temple worship. Elijah did not do those things. But the ministry that followed, he started something that eventually done it under Hezekiah, but it was in the chapter 18, 247 years later. Elijah didn't break down the images there to that extent. Amen. But Jehu, he got anointed there for a little while. Amen. Some of that spirit of Elijah might have rubbed off on him. Amen. But Jehu, he got anointed there for a little while. Amen. Some of that spirit of Elijah might have rubbed off on him. Amen. Jehu got such a zeal for God, he said, I'm going to call a feast. He said, you think Ahab worshipped Baal? He said, Ahab worshipped Baal a little, but Jehu worshipped Baal much. He pretended that he was a Baal worshipper. He said, go throughout all the land of Israel and get every Baal worship and bring them to the house of Baal, because I'm going to show you I'm a real Baal worshipper. And the Bible says it was trickery. Amen. Old Jehu used trickery on them and got them in there, and he had 80 men at the door. He said, if you let either one escape, your life will be for their life. And he killed every one of them there. Praise the Lord. That helped the restoration along. It kept helping it along until he finally got it back in a decent state. Amen. Now God, in this hour, has been doing some strange things, hasn't he? Amen. There's been some moves of God that, amen, is rather strange. But you know, I can see the hand of God in all of it, can't you? How God moved, that God moved in that Elijah, Elisha, Jehu, and then the kings, and Hezekiah, and keep bringing on up till he finally got it right again. Amen. In this hour, God sent a prophet, and that prophet was not to perfect us. It was to turn our hearts back and restore us back to the Word. Amen. It was to say, go back to what Peter preached. Go back to what Paul preached. Go back to the original. Go back to what Jesus said. And he shook the world 7 times around and around the world. Somebody was telling me that someone asked a man riding on a plane across Africa. Said they talked, got the subject started, and said, do you know, ever hear of a man named William Branham? Said, there's not a man in Africa that don't haven't heard of that man. Amen. God shook the world, but now the man's gone. Now, as Elijah, now you see what this is going to do to me, don't you? But I've got to be faithful to the Word of God. God help me to do it. Amen. If this is my last sermon that I'll ever preach, God help me to be faithful to the Word of God. Amen. Uncompromising. Amen. I want to be just as faithful to that Word as I can be. Amen. God sent a prophet that was not part of the fivefold ministry. The ministry was never given to perfect the saints. That ministry that original Elijah had was not to get that temple worship reestablished, and it didn't do it. God didn't send it for that. He sent Elijah to prove one more time that God is God. Restore him back to the knowledge that God is God. Restore him back, and this prophet that we have had in this day, he have laid little seeds all around long in the message. That if you'll take those seeds in your heart as you hear that message and let it begin to grow with the right spirit and with the Holy Ghost, they'll grow into the revelation, the same revelation Peter, Paul, and all them had. Amen. Can you see that tonight? He said, I will restore. But, now here's where we're going to get to something. And I'm cutting this short, as you noticed. Amen. See, I had a whole page. Just didn't hardly touch it. But I think I said enough that you know what I'm talking about. Now, Elijah was the common restore all thing. Now, the early church, they had a ministry. And that ministry was speaking the same thing, wasn't it? According to 1 Corinthians 1:10, see that y'all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you. That was what was in the early church. Amen. That was in there, and it's got to be in this age. And what the prophet brought, those that truly have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, will restore us back to that city. We can take the message that the prophet brought and get back into that city. The church is not there yet. But I want to show you one thing. There's something that the prophet was not to restore. Now, and he said himself that It would be at the time the Lord come to earth. Now, we find recorded in Revelation 10, 1 through 7 there, a mighty angel come to earth, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to earth in the spirit form. Now, he restored back to full blessing of the Pentecostal blessing, the word of God and all that they received on the day of Pentecost. But the Lord Jesus Christ has never fully come to earth in the full revelation of his word. How many will agree? It didn't come in Paul's day. It wasn't to come. John saw it on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. And he said, when he comes, seven thunders with uttered a voice, and he was about to write, and the angel said, write it not. Now that haven't been wrote, and it haven't been, the church has never had that and lost it. Can you see that now? The church has never had that and lost it, so that was one thing that the prophet was not to restore back. Because you can't restore back something that you've never had. Amen. Can you say amen? And that's the coming of the Lord to press himself into his people and be real among us Gentiles. Can you believe that? That is what God is wanting to do tonight. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, as we're coming to this stage of the game, did the prophet fulfill the word? He restored back, didn't he? But you see, I took them other prophets, showed you Elijah, what the restoration involved. Now, this prophet came, he proved that God was right, and what did he do? He took this Bible. And he preached on it and said, if what I've said is the truth, this Bible is the word of God, let God himself come down and vindicate it. Everybody shut up, didn't they? Amen. He restored us back to the knowledge that God is God. And he proved one more time that God would do everything that's wrote in the Bible. But now he's left us. What are we going to do? Amen. We see what God has done, don't we, since the prophet has left the scene. Amen. We could mention things, the moves of God that have taken place, and show you how they would fit right in there and show forth, but show you still that we're not perfected yet. It's going to take a fivefold ministry, moving with God. And how's the fivefold ministry going to operate? It's going to take Christ himself coming into the people. How many knows? And he is coming to earth again. There is a spiritual coming of the Lord. He comes to earth to get inside of his people, to lead us out. Amen. Thanks be to God, and I'm so glad. It's not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is Christ. Amen. But the revelation of the full word of God at the end time. Amen. We're going to be Christ personalizing his people. Joel speaks of a mighty army. Amen. Never have been one like it, and never will be after. How many sees that? Never have been one like it. The early church wasn't like it. It's going to be greater than that. And after this, it won't be none like it. The prophet can't restore back what's never been. Amen. But thank God. Don't you thank God he came and proved that God is God to us? You know where I would have been? I would have probably been in some Jesus' name organization. Believing in women preachers and all kind of things like that. But no. God sent a prophet. And he proved that God was God. And he proved that the Word was right. And he said, come to the Word. God's still on him. And he proved that God was still on him. You know what Elijah done? He proved that God was still answered by fire. Amen. That gave the others courage and they began to move with God. Amen. How many wants to move with God now as we close out this message tonight? I trust the Lord. Now, you might want to hear this on tape and so forth. I know I read a lot of scripture to begin with. But I wanted to show you what did. Go back to the beginning. Show you what the beginning was. Show you what Elijah's spirit was. Can you see now what Elijah was sent to do? To call us back and wake us up and make us know that God was still God. But can you see that in Israel he didn't bring perfection? He didn't bring under Elijah. He didn't bring under John the Baptist. Fact is, John's own disciples, prophetic to say, 40 years after John went off scene, you know what they're still doing? Preaching John, the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. That was Apollos. A great preacher, preaching the word of God. Oh, how he could preach. They didn't know he was just preaching what John brought. Paul came and said, yes, John said this, but let's go on. Amen. Repent, everyone, be baptized. And they were baptized, they received the Holy Ghost, and so on and went on. Amen. The church is sitting now ready to go on with God. Can you see it? All we got to do is get all the stumbling blocks out of the way. You know what the Bible says Jesus Christ has become? A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Many stumble at the word. Many stumble at what God's done. Many stumble because God sent that prophet. That prophet has served only to become a stumbling stone to keep them out of a New Testament ministry. Serve only as a... They just stumble over it, fall over it, stumble over it, and God can't do a thing with them. He just got to let them go on because Brother Brown didn't come to change the Bible, did he? Whatever was wrote before Brother Brown came, it's still right. If he said he gave a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, that's the way God will do it. If he says first apostles, that's the way it is. If he says evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's the way it is. If he says there's one body, that's the way it is. If he says there'll be local churches all in unity speaking the same thing, the power of God, evangelists moving between them and so forth, and the power of God just filling the churches, gift of tongues and all, that's the way it'll be, won't it? Now, I want to say this, and friends, listen to me tonight. Therefore, seeing he was arrested, the prophet that restored in that manner, and left with a church not perfected. I didn't say he left with his job not done. I thoroughly believe he thoroughly finished his job. He done like Elijah. He proved to, how many knows that Brother Brown, God through Brother Brown proved beyond any shadow of doubt to anybody that want to read the books, listen to the tapes, that God is God. He proved it so much you can't dare doubt. If you tried to doubt, you couldn't doubt. Amen. But it left us now, and the church is in confusion in a lot of places. So what did it do? The message is still right here. Still in the Bible. And God's got some apostles. God's got some prophets. God's got some evangelists. Going to take this word up and go with it. Amen. That's the way it's going to be. That's the word of God. And one other thing I was going to get at, and I know it's late. You notice John, he never did say much about what his office was. Neither did Elijah. Neither did Elisha. But you notice Peter, Paul, James, and all them. I believe it's 13 times directly Paul says, I am an apostle. I am the apostle. And James said, I'm an apostle. And Peter said it, but those other ones didn't. I'll say in this hour, if you know your office and God has made it known to you, you've got a right to declare it. How many will agree? You've got a right to declare it. They did in Bible days. Just because Brother Brown did, and he fit perfectly, he did on occasion, but not too much like Paul did, and Peter and the rest of them. But on occasion, he made it known. But the New Testament ministry, they made thoroughly known their ministry. How many knows Philip was an evangelist? He was known by Philip the evangelist, had four virgin daughters that prophesied. And when you talked about Philip, everybody knew he was the evangelist. Amen. When you talked about Paul, everybody knew he was an apostle. When you talked about Peter, everybody knew he was an apostle. Amen. When you talk about Stephen, amen. He was a great man of God, and everybody knew what happened. Brother, they wasn't ashamed to tell it. We're coming back. There's going to be men declare their office, and the church is going to rally to it. Those that get the cobwebs out of their mind, and I'm not, now mind you, I'm not saying anything Brother Brown said was cobwebs. Don't you let Satan tell you that. Amen. God laid that message out, and I believe he laid out exactly like he wanted to. And if there was anything in that message I could change, I wouldn't change a thing. I say, amen, leave it like it is, and let's go on with God. Wouldn't you? Amen, because it was the doings of God. Amen. Let us bow our head. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come to you at the close of this message, Lord, God, I know that much has been said tonight, and to some it may be only food for thought, but God, to those that has eyes to see and ears to hear with, Lord, they'll know it's from you, Lord. Oh God, as we've spoke on your great prophet, there's never been a man like him. There never will be another that you use in the peculiar manner that you use that spirit of Elijah. Yet you bring restoration. Yet in the time you bring the restoration, you blind the eyes of many people that they can't see the restoration. They can't receive the restoration. But it's all your doings, Lord, and I praise you because you know what you're doing. All things ordained of God. Father, may as we lead this church tonight, Lord, may you take these words and bless them to the hearts of the people. And God, those that hear this tape, Lord, wherever it may go, may they understand that there was nothing said, nothing at all to belittle anything that the prophet did, anything that Elijah done. And Father, may they understand, Lord, that I believe the message. I believe the prophet. It wasn't for him, Father, it wasn't for you saying the Elijah the prophet, you'd had to smite the whole world with a curse. You would have had to destroy it because it would become a cursed religion. But you sent a man to call us back to the Word, and we appreciate it, Father. And this was only said to help your bride to understand things that's taking place now. And Father, may everyone that hear my voice, Lord, may they know this is the truth, Lord. And may you take it and use it for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.